One of the major aspects of the job at Woodlesford was to train a lot of young lads, basically. They were all in the teens or early 20s. They all came to the station. They were all trained reasonably well, I would say. And they all went and took exams, and they all did very well. And that meant that the training officer at Leeds head office noticed that they were doing well and decided that they would send me to the British Railway School of Transport at Darlington on an instructor's course, which was 8 weeks long. And the number of people started off on the course were 16, and it ended up with 7. And I was very surprised at the number of different ways that you could fail an instructor's course. It's unbelievable. In fact, if somebody told me about it, I wouldn't have believed them. It was an eye-opener on that. But I gave a lecture to a lieutenant colonel from the Army Education Service who sat in the front row, and I gave a lesson to teach him how to be a booking clerk. And at the end of the day, it was videoed. And I mean, they used to just tear you to shreds afterwards, like, you did this wrong and you did that wrong and all the rest of it. And it showed me on the video, and I was hanging on to I had like a dais thing, and I was hanging on to it for grim death at the beginning, and you could see me knuckles were white like that. And the instructor of the course said, "It's now 4 minutes since Jack got started on this lecture." He says, "Look at him now." He says, "He couldn't give a damn." He says, "He's away like the mixer and he don't care who's standing in front of him at all." And I got I got an A+, which they didn't give out very often. They used to give A- all the time. I got an A+ for that. And I was made the Leeds Division Booking Office Instructor and did two-week courses on booking office work for everybody. You know, if you started on the railway at Scarborough, you came to Leeds and got the two-week booking office course.
And the upshot of all that was that you got promoted away from Woodlesford.
Yes. In 1967, there was a job advertised in Leeds, and I didn't apply for it, actually. And the phone rang to Tom Swaby and said, "We would like Jack to apply for this job." And I thought, oh, well, OK. So I applied for the job, and I went for the interview. And I'm not kidding, it sticks in my mind. I was absolutely ground to the ground, literally. I was ground down. And when I came out and I walked up the concourse at Leeds City Station, I thought, well, if I've got that job, it'd be a miracle. Next day, letter comes, you've got the job. And I mean, what they were actually doing, I realised that if you went for an interview and you got an easy time, you weren't going to get the job. If you went for an interview and you got a bashing, you were going to get the job, you see. So anyway, I got this job, which was at Leeds. And it was quite a modern type job at the time. It was computers. And what you had to do was split the diagram down, the trainman's diagram, down into type of service, express passenger, local passenger, parcels, what have you. And then they would allocate the wages of that man to that particular type of service. But the trouble with it was that you could get a summary of it all, or you could get a pile of paper that thick in between, which you couldn't deal with in a day, and tomorrow you got another lot. And the thing was, you couldn't get to the intermediate stage of it. And they never did, actually. They never actually got to the sort of semi thing. So I then left there, which was a class 2 job, and went to the chief civil engineer's accountants at Hudson House at York, which was a class 1 job, which, bear in mind, was the same as what Tom Swaby was, costing track renewals. And that was an interesting job. I enjoyed that.
What was it like leaving Woodlesford? Did you get a good send-off?
Yes, I think I got a good send-off. But, of course, the thing was, I was still living there, you see. So I didn't leave and disappear into the sunset. I actually left, but I was still using the station to get backwards and forwards to work, you see. So.
And did you know that the writing was on the wall for Woodlesford Station?
It was
station?
On Beeching's list, of course. But, I mean, Beeching's list was absolutely beaten. I mean, it's still there today, isn't it? I mean, Beeching had it on his list and he just didn't succeed at all. It's very good, actually.
But the staff got sent away. There's no staff there now. What did you foresee that when you left?
I did. I mean, in actual fact, all the way down the line, you know, when I didn't get the summer relief station master job, somebody else got that who was redundant. And it was, you could see Beeching sort of starting to affect everything, really. They were affecting the number of jobs that were available. The trouble with it, of course, you see, you were getting station masters who had been at somewhere like Rothbury for the last 20 years, who had a pay bill of about 3, and all of a sudden they were sent to Leeds City Station with a pay bill of 300, and they didn't know where to start. And, I mean, really, they were shouting and bawling, you know, send me Jack, come on, Jack. You know, but it just, you know, everything was getting squashed down. And you couldn't get jobs at all.
And were you involved at Woodlesford in the campaign to keep the station open?
I was, yes and no, because I thought myself that it's not really up to me because I've got a vested interest. And I mean, I was silly really because, you know, nobody gave a damn whether or not you had or not. We wrote, what do you call them, round robins.
Petition.
But you see, petition, yeah. But the thing is that we found out, of course, eventually, that a petition with 1,000 names on counts as one. A letter from Joe Bloggs complaining about it counts as one. So, really, taking petitions, even now, is a total waste of time, because it only counts as one tick in the whole thing. And, I mean, people did sign the petitions, of course, obviously, because it kept open, didn't it? But we went to the Transport Users Consultative Committee meeting in Hunslet, and the bloke at Leeds, who was responsible for Hunslet and Sturton Roads, said that if you take all these people that are travelling by train and put them on this road, it'll stop. And I think he had a lot to do with it, actually. It was the roadman, and he was saying, you know, the road is totally inadequate for the extra traffic that you're going to get on the road if you shut this.